I note that in the lesson, you indicated that it was until Christ came, as opposed to until his death. When Christ, for example, said to several persons, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," was it that the forgiveness took place at that point that Christ said it, or would that fall in the category where, you know, the sins were dealt with by in the Old Testament, like the animal blood? Would that be in the same category? So when Jesus Christ said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee," were their sins forgiven, final and complete, or are they in the same category as all the persons before
they would
the type of
be,
Christ?
Because, okay, when I spoke about that it was not until Christ came that anyone received full forgiveness, that coming of Christ to which I refer encompasses not just Christ's presence, but all the work he has accomplished for our redemption. So Christ's coming, in my statement about the coming of Christ, Christ's coming would include, of course, his birth, grown up, being tried unjustly, condemned, went to Calvary and died a cruel, barbaric death, and his resurrection. So my coming of Christ would include not only his advent in that time in history, but all that he did for man's salvation. Now, the other part now is that it was not until, well, even when Jesus Christ said, "Thy sins forgiven," it was not until the price that was to be paid for sin was paid. So everything had to wait on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. No sin. All the people that Christ appears to have granted forgiveness, that would not be, let me make this and clarify, that would not be effective until after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But when Jesus Christ said to anyone, "Thy sins are forgiven," it is good as a done deal. That's right. If somebody will remind me, very important, because it relates to this, that one Sunday night, I'm not sure if this coming Sunday night, next week, that is, if God is willing, to deal with passages where Christ or the Almighty God speak of things not yet done as if they are already done. And that points to the awesomeness of God. That when they are, and I'm going to remember to have a lesson prepared where the past tense is used for things that are yet to come. So the point you brought up there, Brother Webb, is well correct. That is, no sin, and even the people that Christ pronounced forgiveness for or to, that would not be effective until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The forgiveness of all sin was dependent on Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. All sin. Whenever, wherever, for whomever those sins were committed, it had to wait until the price, the only price for sin, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay? And very good question. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the title of the discussion, and most likely it will be a two-part discussion. What we enter in now from the passage of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 through 3, and the other part probably next week. Let us hear the passage.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Thank you. You know, the passage contains so much, the passage just read. Really, my lesson will surround the fact of the moral use of memory. That is the right, one of the right ways to use our memory. You will notice that in the passage just read, taken from the passage of Deuteronomy chapter 8, among the first word in the text from God is remember. Very important. Man's memory carries a mighty influence over his history and his destiny. Memory plays an important part in reference to where we are coming from and where we are going. It is because of memory that experience is so important, not only in serving God in other ways, but just let's look at serving God. The more of God's action in our lives that we are able to recall, is the wiser we become, the more trusting we become, the more our faith is built and the more we grow strong spiritually, the more of the things you and I can remember that we can see the hands or the working of God in those incidents. They might have taken place 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Those of us who remember them will acknowledge that they help us. They help to strengthen our faith. One of the things you gather from the passage read that should be enlightening and helpful to us is that a lot of the trials that we have experienced or are experiencing, in many cases, the Almighty God is using them to mold us into better people. Did you listen to the passage? Where the passage that was read, the Almighty God is telling the Israelites that lot of the trials that brought them tears, it was the doing of the Almighty God. Listen it again.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
Right. 40 years, the Almighty God says, try to recall some of the things that happened to you. Read.
To humble thee.
That God was using these incidents to teach them humility. Is he using unpleasant, undesirable experiences in your life, my life, to teach us today? Yes. What we must trust God that we have the common sense and the strength and the trust not to give up, not to faint. Read on, brother.
And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart.
Does the Almighty God is permitting trials in your life, my life today, to prove us, and to see what is within us?
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
All or a lot of the bad experiences the Israelites had, they represent the leading and the directing of God's hand. Were they joyous experiences? No, the passage is not giving us that idea. Read a little more.
And he humbled thee.
He humbled thee.
And suffered thee to hunger.
Wait. God, the word suffer, as you all know, mean permit. God brings starvation, hunger among them. Yes. Many of the quite unpleasant experiences that I have had in life, they are serving me today, strengthening my faith, giving me confidence, and all that comes with that. And some of these experiences were of those that even brought tears, losing night rest. But yet those experiences, I can talk about them today and laugh about it. But when I was going through them, they were no laughing matter. But you can look back and see the good that came from them. Memory. As I've said, man's memory carries a mighty influence over his history and his destiny. Man without a memory would be altogether, completely be another being had it not been for our memory. The Almighty God gives us memory to make us wise, make us trusting, make us learn dependence on God. Remembrance of the past is guidepost or beacon for the future. I repeat, remembrance of past experiences, pleasant and unpleasant, good and bad experiences, remembering them, they become, that is when we can recall them, or some of them, they can become guideposts or beacon, a light for the future. In the passage just read of Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Israelites are encouraged to use their memory morally and wisely all the way. That long journey you took, it was for a reason, Israel. I hope you have learned from it. Every word, all the commandments, the good and the bad experiences, God is encouraging the Israelite to learn from all of these. And that God encouraged Israel through the pen of Moses in the passage is also indicating to us that whatever we can remember that God has brought about in our lives, and some of what he has brought about might be unpleasant experiences, the Almighty God might be using those unpleasant experiences to teach us lessons. Lessons that we may need, lessons that we may benefit from, not while we are going through them, but a year after we have gone through them. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, after we have gone through those unpleasant experiences. The Almighty God, in the same way, is encouraging the Israelite. He's also encouraging us to learn from each. The scope of memory, what it encompasses, all the way which the Lord hath led thee. The Israelites were called upon to remember their needs and the power that was behind their material needs. When God took care of those needs, they are called upon to remember that and what the Almighty God was saying to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is that the same power that took care of your need then is the same power that will guide you on the rest of your journey. When you arrive, when any of us were going through trying times as children of God, and trying time can come in many ways. It can be with your finances. It can be with your job, your employment. It can be with your health. It can be with your marriage or your relationship. It can be with your children, your parents that are not well or whatever. In so many cases, the Almighty God wants us to gain strength and wisdom from those experiences. It is not strength that you need only while you are going through the trials. They are strength to deal with challenge that will come down the road. But that God has brought you through this challenge, now it will serve later on when other challenges come and you remember how God led you through that. Let me see if I'm going to bring him up now. It's one of these great men of the Bible. Yes. Well, let me bring him up now because, yes, I think. Yes. Well, let me get back on the point. If he's brought up, he's brought up. The Israelites were to remember their special peril and the God who was prepared, the God who was prepared for every emergency. That's what God had demonstrated to the Israelites in the 40 years. Remember, their journey was meant to take just a little over a month. 40 days. It took 40 years. Wait, it's not because God planned premeditatively that it would take 40 years. It was the grumbling of the Israelites, their discontent, ingratitude. But even in those situations, the Almighty God meant for it to be a learning lesson. And so it is. For us, trials for the child of God often carries a lot of benefits. Truly. Every point of our past history, and I'm talking us, every point of our past history teems, that is, has evidences of the footprints of the Almighty God. Those of us who have been traveling with Christ for some time, as we look back in our lives, as we look back in our lives, we can see that while it was so fretful and terrible when we were going through them, when we look back on them, we can see that God was a part of it. Who and I, today is Sunday, is somewhere between Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I was talking to somebody. It might be one of our recent members, and by recent, I don't mean few weeks or few months ago. But I was telling the person what we went through in erecting this building. After we have exhausted all the avenue to get, we had sort of brought the building to a certain stage on our own, coming from a house, one of the Duane Park houses. And we feel now it was time for us to try and get a loan. And every possible avenue to get a loan failed because the church is considered, rightly so, non-profit organization. And bank and financial institution afraid that you may borrow their money and can't pay back, because we don't make profit. It reached a point where everything stood still, where the trees that grew up in this place were much taller than I am. And that was the whole building area. Trees grew up in it. I remember there were days I would attire myself and decided the two or three institutions I'm going to check that day. And as I checked them and each one turned them down, no, we can't, we don't lend church. Usually when I reach home, and that time it was just Olive and Patrick, most of you are acquainted with Olive. I hope you will meet Patrick. But they were a little picnic. But usually when I reach home, and they were at basic school, and Sister Mitchell was out, I was glad sometime when I reach home and nobody in our yard. I needed those times just for myself to deal with the disappointment that I experienced all day. I just wanted nobody to be home then. And that I went through for quite many months. But those are the same experiences which, no, it matters not what Satan bring my way. I can deal with them. Truly. Not that I will like them, but I always believe that God has something good up his sleeve. And this is what God is saying to the Israelites. Look on what you have gone through over these 40 years. Use it, Israelite, to strengthen yourself. And God is saying the same thing to us. Yes, they were to remember their special perils. And the God who was prepared for every emergency that came up in the lives of the Israelites. When unpleasant experience are placed under the microscope of godly memory. What did you call it, Brother Mitchell? Godly memory. That is memory that you feel strongly that God was a part of it. Yes. When some of these things are placed under the microscope of godly memory, every atom will yield surprising lesson of everlasting truth about what God is capable of doing in a positive way. The moral use of memory for Israel or for the Israelite, they were to perceive through remembering that God was in every event and that every word of God is a force for giving life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. So everything that God said to them, they should try and remember it. Because they are lessons in what God says. Watch here. To reduce the pride of their heart and to convince the Israelite nation that God rules, the Almighty God, to accomplish that. That is reducing the pride that would normally be in them, to convince them that the Almighty God rules, it doesn't matter what's going on. The Almighty God created needs. That's right. God created needs. Hunger. That's what the passage tells us, you know. Hunger for them. Verse 3.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger.
God permit you to hunger. The Almighty God could have miraculously provided food at every step. But those occasions when God permitted the hunger to take place and withdraw the food, God did that thoughtfully. Permit thee to hunger.
And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Do you know we still need to learn that lesson today? Man does not live by bread alone. And as I've said here in previous lesson, for many of us, we want so much bread that all usually when God provides the bread for the day, we still go around fretting. But you see, we need more than bread to live. That is, we need more than the physical things of life for our lives to be meaningful and trusting. Memory revealed to them that God was making in their lives a great experiment, that is, in the lives of the Israelite. So I'm closing with this point because there are some other things to be picked up next week. Well, whenever I pick up on the rest of the lesson, characters from the Bible will be brought in to remind us of what memory did to them. Men and women who, under normal situation, would be helpless, fearful, timid, by simply remembering, they became giant for the Almighty God. So every man's life is God's experimenting, and usually for our own good, to make us better people in his sight. We are going to stop here because, in fact, somebody, let us close with Proverbs 3, verse 1 and verse 3. Read aloud for me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 3.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
That is, remember them. My son, forget not.